So good morning, beloved ones. Yes, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and my soul says I need to rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. Woo, thank you. Thank you for that. And once again, I just want to welcome all of you, and especially those of you who are joining us from on high at home or wherever you are. You may be en route, but you might be online. We welcome you, and we welcome your spirit and your energy and your consciousness, and we thank you in advance for joining us this morning. And as always, I love to have, you know, your face in the place. I love to have the spirit of you all who are gathered together to kind of create that community, create the vibration, set the intention, you know, of being together, blessing each other. And so I thank you this morning as well for being here. It's just my delight to just look out and see and feel the presence of God as it lives, moves, and has its being in and through and as you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the season of Thanksgiving, so I want to thank all of you who came out for our volunteer dinner. Did you all have a good time, those of you who came to the volunteer dinner? It's the one time where I get to, you know, do my little thing, and I realized on Saturday that, okay, my thing is a little different now. It's not as fluid as it used to be, but okay. But I did have a great time. And I just want to once again reiterate how grateful we are to those of you who step up and step in and serve this ministry, because we cannot do it all. We can't do it without you. So those of you, whatever team you're serving on, bookstore, hospitality, whatever, I don't want to name them all because surely I will forget one and somebody's going to come up to me at the end of the service and say, you didn't say my team. So, but we are grateful for every person and every team that helps us to function. And if you've been coming for a while and you've been enjoying the consciousness and the energy and the place and you've been sitting in the pews, think about really how you could serve. Join a team. Express your light. This is not the time to put your light under a bushel. It's the time for you to really share your gifts, whether your time, your talent, your treasure. We appreciate it all. So hopefully, you know, you'll consider joining one of our teams. But I thank you. I thank you all for who you are and how you serve this wonderful and great ministry. I want to also take the time to thank Miss Karen Mack. I didn't see her today. I don't know if Karen is here today. But our board had a visioning retreat on Saturday. And Karen so lovingly and graciously offered to facilitate the process. It was a visioning process for us. And she was so skilled at doing that because, you know, we had questions to ponder and we broke up into groups. And each of the groups, we first wanted to start with finding the answer. You know, there was a question and we were just, let's get to the result. Let's get to the answer. Let's find. And she came to each group and said, this is not necessarily about you trying to solve the problem right here and now. It's about exploring, right, the possibilities, going deep. Before you try to come up with a conclusion, come up with an answer, look into what else could be. And, you know, the exercises were designed to take us deeper into the questioning, deeper into the realm of possibilities. And it was so funny how quickly we want to get to the solution, to the answer, when there could always be more than one right answer. You know, but we've been conditioned to find the answer instead of moving into the process of exploring multiple possibilities. What else? Because especially if you're visioning, you don't want to come out with just a limited vision, right? You want to be able. So she was so skilled at helping us to do that. And I just wanted to offer gratitude and thanksgiving to you, Karen Mack, if you're watching. Thank you for that. And she tithed her time and her talent to us in that capacity. And we were so receptive and grateful for it. Because moving into a visioning process it can be challenging sometimes, especially for those of us who feel we're sort of left-brained and not necessarily right-brained and always open to these creative ideas. I mean, there are people, I have friends, who creativity just flows to them. You know, I have to kind of think. I'm a thinker, so I want to contemplate. I want to think, where those who have the creative flair, you know, ideas come. And both are needed, Both are needed. But speaking of visioning and reimagining our future, before I get into that of how that applies to us in our lives and in the church, I want to tap in briefly around our current state of affairs within our nation, because I think it's important for us to check in from time to time with one another, because these are not only trying times, but these are the times that we most need to try out our truth principles and our spiritual approach to life, right? To see what our spiritual mindsets are that can not only sustain us during these times, but also propel us forward, to help us find a way forward, right? Into the upward progression of life. How to help us to do that. And one of the things that I think we're going to have to consider in our near future is that we are in some uncharted waters right now. We really are, right? We've never been here before with the state of our democracy or our governance or our nature. We've not been here before. And so much or many of our long-held and cherished foundational beliefs and maybe even laws and our foundational modus operandi in which we have, you know, functioned for maybe 200, 300 years or 200 years or more as a nation, those things seem to be thrown out of the window and cast aside. And so it's sort of like people are saying, well, we're in some kind of, you know, constitutional crises, and we are. We are. So I think what's happening is a time for us to really stop for a minute and examine what is taking place and what is being called of us at this time. What is being called of us at this time? And I think there's some radical situations in store for us in our future. And I began to think, can you imagine, and I think we're going to have to imagine this, that what if the entire regime, and I call it a regime and not an administration, but what if the entire regime has to be thrown out or is found to have been illegally seated in the government due to voter tampering and or fraud? And there are little snippets of that beginning to show its head. But if it comes out in full force that that is indeed what took place, that will most assuredly throw us into what? A constitutional crisis or a crisis of some sort. Because if the top of the ticket was illegally seated, it means that everything and every position underneath is also what? Invalid and illegally in place, which means if the top goes, everything has to go. And so that most certainly would move us into a place that we've never been before. Because we'd have so many questions like, well, if the whole regime is out, then who would be in charge? How would we function, right? How would we hold new elections? And how would we hold new elections? Because we know traditional elections are held this time, that, every 2 years, every 4 years. But how would we hold total new elections? How would that be a state of being for us to come about? How could we be assured that we would now have fair and safe, you know, elections, that we would be assured of that, that they would be clean? How could we really feel that we might have to upgrade our constitution? Because it's got lots of, we have discovered in this process that it has a lot of what? Loopholes. The founding fathers did a great job, but they missed some areas because nobody can cover everything. And Lord, they were not predicting that we would be in this situation. So how would we do that? How would we develop a new constitution? And would there be maybe a committee or some kind of council that would have to be established while we're trying to figure out who's going to lead and how will we lead and what will be our movements going forward? So there would be and could be a lot of uncertainty, right? And I could go on and on about you know, what it would mean for us to be in uncharted waters. But I believe that we are being called, and very well being called, to design right now and to hold in consciousness what type of country do we want to be. We've not been at that, you know, we weren't in existence when the forefathers were creating what type of country this should be. But guess what? We may have that opportunity to decide, well, what kind of country, and people are coming to, well, wait a minute. I don't want this to be a country of white supremacy. Wait a minute. I do want this to be a country where there's equal protection under the law. I do want this to be a country where the law applies equally to everybody, regardless of what position or status. Yeah, I do. So we are having the opportunity to define what we want and what we don't want. Now, the process of getting there may be harrowing for us for a little bit, but it is also, it can be seen as a precious new opportunity for all of us here to figure out what we want to be and what types of laws we want to have and what types of policies do we want to engage in and what kind of mindsets do we want to hold and what's the perspective that we really want to be about as a nation. Because that's all coming into question. And I'm looking online and I'm seeing people starting to really question these things and answer and saying, well, yeah, I never thought about it, but I don't want this kind of government. I do want something that's fair. I do want us to live out our high morals and our high principles that were established in some of our founding documents. We the people, right? All have the right to pursue life, liberty, justice, freedom, happiness. Yeah, we do want that. You see, those things were all just, yeah, okay, fine. We were living in our bubble. And now we have the opportunity to decide, do we really want to have those things established, or do we want this, where there's a society that is just for the rich or a certain few and everybody else gets the crumbs? No, we don't want that. So it's a precious time that we are in, and we have this opportunity. I think we're given this wonderful opportunity to begin again, to start anew, to reevaluate, to reassess, to reimagine, a country. Or even a world, as Unity would say, a world that works for all. Is that an impossibility? No. Will it take work? Yes. But we can certainly dwell in the realm of possibilities of what would a world that works for all look like? What would a nation that works for all really look like? And that's, I think, the blessed gift that we're being given. We as a board, we spent a half a day. Let me just put this on because I'm going to use this, but I don't want it to ring, because then I would be guilty of what I'm telling you all not to do. So, Well, it may be pinging. When it pings, it's just going to be the divine saying, yes. I've got to make it work for me. So we as a board, you know, yesterday spent a half a day just scratching the surface of reimagining what a 21st century church would look like, or what would Unity, you know, of Washington, D.C. look like? And could we expand our reach, and how can we expand our reach, and in what are the many ways expand our effectiveness as a spiritual community? So one of the things that I was thinking about, not only, you know, with the gift that we're being given now in our society, and also, you know, the gift that we were engaging in yesterday as a board, but also it could apply to our individual lives. Every moment we have the gift to be able to reimagine our lives, to envision the life we really truly want to live and want to experience. We have to reimagine our mindsets, reimagine our long-held perspectives, reimagine our ability to actually dwell into the realm of possibilities. We're so used to being conditioned to the realm of what we can see and what we know and what has already happened, what is familiar, as opposed to the realm of infinite possibilities. We talk about that, but how do we really access that? How do we really engage that process with us? Do we look for this one right answer, this one solution, or do we are we open enough to see that there are infinite possibilities, right? And how do we access these infinite possibilities? How can we shift our minds so that we recognize that we can expand and evolve beyond our known sphere of experience and knowledge and all of that, moving into that unknown? And I believe it has to do with understanding our mindset at any given time. And there are basically two, I'm going to call it down to the basics. There are two basic mindsets that we could have. One is fixed. We can have a fixed mindset. And the other is to be open-minded. Those are the two types. Now, a fixed mindset does exactly what it says. It gets fixed. It gets fixed upon a particular thought or belief or assumption or value or understanding or attitude or viewpoint. It gets fixed on those thoughts or those viewpoints, right? And it gets fixed on that so that it can move about with a sense of assuredness, right? And the positive side of having a fixed mindset is that it can bring about a sense of stability, right? A sense of assuredness and comfort. You know, I like the fact that I can be comforted and assured to know that if I do A and B, then this is going to happen. This will be the outcome. And so we can move freely in choosing A or B because we have a sense of, yes, this is a sure outcome. It's stable. And most of us are always looking. How many of you are looking for sure outcomes? We all want that, right? I'd take a step, Lord, if I was guaranteed and assured that I was going to end up over there, then I'm going to do it. We like that. We like making sure that we feel that we know what we know and it's going to be guaranteed. However, having a mix, and there are some positives to a fixed consciousness, a fixed mindset, you know, but it can also have a negative effect. Instead of being stable, it could keep us stuck, right? So a fixed mindset might give me stability, but it also may cause me to be stuck right where I am. It can have a negative effect that I might be rigid in my approach to life, or I might be contained within the limited knowledge that I have, comfortable and contained, because there's a part of the psyche that likes to be comfortable and contained. Right? And so contained within my limited knowledge, my limited perceptions, my limited beliefs, because I'm comfortable by them. I know them. Don't bring me nothing new. I like what I have. I like where I am. And we all vacillate between all these different states of being. But I wrote that a fixed mindset is challenged by challenges. A fixed mindset is usually challenged by challenges. No, don't bring a new challenge. And this is the odd thing, is that life is filled with what? Challenges. And so the fixed mind wants to, no, I don't want this new challenge. I want to move the way I've always moved, and I know if I move this way, I'm going to get here. Yes, you can get here, but maybe there's all of this to behold and to experience. But we like that. So a fixed mindset is challenged by challenges. And if we're in that state of mind at any given time, then we're less likely to try something new. We're not going to try something new. We're comfortable with where we are. But then on the other hand of this fixed mindset, there is the mindset that is open, the mindset that is a growth mindset, right? This mindset kind of likes to move beyond what is known. There are people, believe it or not, most of us like the comfort zone of what is known. But there are people, and thank God there are, because they are the ones that have helped move us forward in our evolution. But there are those people that actually like to move beyond known beliefs, beyond known, you know, charted areas. What's the uncharted? And they like to explore, and they like to investigate, and they have a curiosity that helps them, you know, to move forward and to evolve in life. And what that mindset, you know, those beliefs and those perceptions and those attitudes of mind are more fluid as opposed to being fixed. There's a more fluidity to it, right? There's a place for the fix, but there's also a place for being fluid and having a fluid mindset. And the fluid, a person who's in that open growth, fluid mindset welcomes challenges. They welcome the new. They see them as opportunities for growth and not shying away from them. And so it's a positive because they're willing to venture out into the new. But the negative side of having a growth mindset can also be that the baby sometimes gets thrown out with the bathwater. You know what I mean? We're so busy for the new. Yeah, did that, gone. Next, next. I know people who can't, they can't even enjoy what they have because they're on to what? On to the next. On to the next. And so it's almost like being driven and not having the ability. So yes, you want that fluidity, but you want to also have the ability to be present and to enjoy whatever it is that you have and not to throw the baby out with the bath water. Because sometimes it could be so much change that there's little or no stability. So the key is then to be aware, right? We've got to be aware of which mindset we are functioning from at any given moment, because the mindsets that we have are fluid too. Sometimes I'm just fixed, I'm rooted, and I'm stuck right here and I like it. Other times it's like, ooh, this feels too confining. I want to change, I want to move, I want to grow, I want to do something different. I was saying to somebody, you know, with my new growth, I've never had short hair. Not when I was an infant, maybe, but I wasn't aware of that. But I never had short hair. And so, like, oh, you know, I get up and I say, sometimes I want to put some product and I'll slick it back. But then I said, this morning, I said, no, I want to pick it out. And, you know, somebody said, well, did you come out of the house like that? Somebody just asked me, did the wind do this or did you do it on purpose? And I was like, I did it on purpose. Somebody said, well, it's a little crooked. I don't care. I'm just, you know, I'm enjoying, because this is a new mindset for me. I'm like, oh, I could pick it out. I'm looking at it on here. Okay. I could get a little fro. I can do different things. And I'm kind of enjoying that process. You know, I'm doing it for me. So it's new and I'm exploring and I'm excited about it. I've come a long, long way because, you know, when I had, it was very easy when I had long hair before, you know, I used to put it in a little shigong, a little knot, and that's the way I wore it for years. And then I took a little trip and I started wearing it out a little bit and then, you know, down a little bit. And like, now it's like, whatever. It could be, but that's the mindset that I'm in. Right? I want to be fluid right now. I don't want to be fixed because for me, my life needs to be about living fully and experiencing as much as I can experience and trying new things and, you know, moving outside of my comfort zone and my box. And it's a good thing. And I know that I also will have things that rein me in making sure that I have a certain amount of, you know, stability or whatever. But I'm aware of the mindset that I'm in. Are you aware if you're growing? Are you expanding? Are you able to reimagine the mindsets that you have? And are they really helping you? Are they serving you well? Are you able to really dwell in the realm of possibilities? You know, dwelling in the realm of possibilities can be uncomfortable for some, but it also is the most exciting place, I think, to be. And, you know, God is so wonderful. This is how I know that the divine is, it brings me things that I need. So I was working on this topic, and the same thing happened, I think, last week. So sometimes I'll get on my phone, you know, I get up early in the morning on Sunday. I could be up at 5 or whatever. And sometimes I'm guided just to scroll and see what's out there. And I was working on my talk, and I just stopped, and I picked up the phone, and I came across Neil deGrasse Tyson. And he, you know, he's a wonderful, brilliant physicist that has the ability to break down some of these concepts into workable understanding for us lay people. But this is what he was saying, and I thought, oh, God, you're so wonderful. And he said this, at no time should you overvalue your own thoughts. And I thought, because who hasn't overvalued their own thoughts? My thoughts, hey, this is my opinion, my point of view. You know, we hold it up highly. It's the way I'm seeing it. And you don't have to think, but this the way I... No, we've all done that. But he says at no time should you overvalue your own thoughts. He says you should allow yourself to be humbled daily with new ideas that challenge any and everything that you currently think. You should be humbled enough to be challenged every day by something that may challenge the way you currently think, right? And he says, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Because, see, if we can't be challenged with the way we're currently thinking, then we get locked, we get stuck, we get fixed, and all of that. And our growth gets stagnated and whatever. So then he said, you are a work in progress, which I always like. That means, okay, this is my feeling right now. These are my thoughts right now. These are my opinions right now. These are my beliefs right now. But you know what? As Charles Fillmore said, but I reserve the right to change my mind. Because I may be different tomorrow. I might have a different experience that causes me to have a different thought. A what? A new thought. We are called, and we are part of what? The new thought movement. We're not a part of the fixed thought movement. We're part of the new thought movement. And then he goes on to say, you are a work in progress. If you learn something new every day, that forces extra context for extra perspective, new perspectives on whatever you knew yesterday. So if you learn something new every day, that forces extra context, meaning you're going to add something into the context that you had and you knew yesterday, which makes you what? A new and different being what? Today, right? You're not the same as you were yesterday if you took in a new context, an extra. So when somebody tells you you're being extra, you can say, I am. I'm extra because I'm taking it all in, right? And making new choices and new decisions and changing my mind and being present. Yes. And then he says, so that forces, if you learn something new every day, that forces extra context for extra perspective, new perspectives on whatever you knew yesterday. You have to stay open to that. And then he says, he ends by saying, there is way more to discover than what you have already learned. It's dwelling in the realm of possibility. There's way more infinite possible scenarios for us to be engaged in, for choices to make and directions to make. We've got to open up and expand our consciousness. So things are changing out here, and the democracy that we knew or the way in which we function has been altered. And yes, we're trying to get back, but we may not ever go back to the type of governance that we had. It's changed, and it's going to change. We're going to have to make changes, right? And so we might keep some things, but there are also going to be new ways and new laws that we'll have to come up with so that we can create the world that works for all and this country that would work for all. And we've got to be willing to watch out and shift our mindsets and open ourselves up. So be willing then to balance between your fixed mindsets and your open mindsets, your fluid mindsets, your growth mindsets. Be balanced in those understandings. Because, you know, a fixed mindset, when you have a fixed mindset, it might mean that you're going to have to fix your mind. You're going to have to fix your mind. And we as true students and metaphysicians, we know how to do what? Fix our mind. Right? If I know and examine my life and I know that something is amiss and it's not showing up the way I want, I got to fix what? I got to fix my mind. I got to fix my consciousness. And if it's too fixed in this direction, I might have to open up and expand my perspective and expand my view. I've got to set a new mind. I got to set my mind in a new direction. So if I have a new mindset, it means I need to set my mind in a new direction. If what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling and what I'm choosing and how I'm acting is not moving me where I think I need to be, I need a new mindset. I got to set myself on a new journey, a new course, a new direction. So this is what we're here to do. And so we've got to examine ourselves. Examine. If you're stuck, you need to examine if perhaps some of your long-held and cherished beliefs, because who doesn't have long-held and cherished beliefs? Right? We do. We have cherished beliefs because, as Neil said, you know, we overvalue our own thoughts. But we got to examine our mind and see if we're stuck and see if we need a paradigm shift. Because sometimes we don't recognize we need to change. We need to repent. Do you know what the word repent means? It means the word is metanoia, which means to turn that mind around. When you're repenting, when you've been over here and you've made some mistakes, it's okay. You can repent. Turn around, get a new perspective, and make a new choice. That's the great thing about understanding how life works. We can make new choices at any given time, and we might be able to have a paradigm shift, which means I'm going to shift my mind. I'm going to change my way in which I see something. I love it when Jesus appeared on the scene and he begins to offer new insights and new ways of seeing and looking at old teachings. And he did that very often. And he gives his most comprehensive views on life and the attitudes of being with the Beatitudes that he offered on the Sermon on the Mount. And people say, if you ever want to know what he taught, just read the Sermon on the Mount, read the Beatitudes and the few chapters after that. He lays everything out, right? And it's a new way of being, a new attitude. So we call them the Beatitude, the beautiful teachings, the beautiful insights, right? And of course, the old guards, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they are the religious leaders of that day. And some of them were very much into the law and the prophets, and didn't want anybody to venture outside of what was traditional law. And so when here comes this upstart person who is giving, a deeper understanding of some old teachings and old laws and old thoughts, and he's bringing a new perspective, and they are all up in arms. They're in a tizzy. Who is this? Who is this man who's, teaching in the temple and doing all these things? And so they're all upset with him. And this is what he says to them. There are three versions. In Matthew, from the King James Version, Matthew 5:17, he says to them, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And the New Living Translation puts it this way: "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." And then the Message puts it this way: "Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's laws or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together, to pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears away, God's law will be alive and working." And I love it because they're all in a tizzy that he's changing things and he's interpreting, and he says, "I'm not here to change God's law." First of all, he understood God's law cannot be what? Changed. Not by man anyway. Even though we think, we can change all kinds of things. Yes, on this dimension, but not in the understanding of the universality, spiritual principles and laws of being. And so he's saying, I'm not here to change God's laws, but to show you that there are deeper ways of understanding these laws, deeper ways of working with these spiritual principles that could serve you better So, you know, he's given the beatitude. Blessed are ye if you're peacemakers and you know, you shall have peace or inherit peace. Blessed are you if you do this. He's trying to say, yes, the law of Moses exists. That's the Mosaic law. It's the Old Testament law. It's like the law of eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'm going to knock your eye out, knock your tooth out because you knocked my eye out or knocked my tooth out. He's saying, okay, that law still exists, but there's other laws. Higher laws, the law of forgiveness, the law of understanding, the law of conservation, whatever it is. And so he's saying, I'm not coming to destroy that. You could have that law, but I'm showing you deeper laws of how God's laws work, and to apply these spiritual laws and principles to our lives. So he was giving new ways of being under spiritual law. He wasn't trying to break or destroy it, but to fulfill it, right? To be that living example of what it meant to follow the laws and the teachings of the divine. He was bringing a new attitude, bringing a new perspective on old teachings. He wasn't changing the teachings. He was bringing us into a deeper, wonderful level, a new mindset and a new belief that can help us stay connected in such a way that we will continue to evolve and continue to grow into our greater selves, our best selves, right? Our highest selves that we are capable of being. He's trying to shed it so we can see I'm more than this. I could be this. I am this. I'm the fulfillment of this. Greater. There's so much more greatness in you than you have even expressed. None of us knows, but there's more. Whatever you're doing, there's more. Whatever you have, there's more. However you're showing up, it can be more. He's trying to, there's always more, always greater, always deeper. God is not a God of limitation. God is a God of evolution and expansion and growth, right? Infinite, more. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a sinner. I am the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And so he's like, I want people to know that they can be fulfilled in a different level. Take it to a different level. Dwell in the realms of possibility. Because with God, what? All things are possible. But we want to dwell in only the things that we know. Let's learn how to dwell in the realm of not only possibilities, but infinite possibilities. Why not? That's how we've been called and created. And so in closing, I asked ChatGPT. I said, tell me about dwelling in the realm of possibilities. And so this is what it said. Dwelling in the realm of possibilities generally refers to the idea of exploring, imagining, or considering various potential outcomes. See, we just go for that one right outcome. There are what? Various potential outcomes, rather than focusing solely on limitations or current realities. Don't look at what's currently happening. Look at what is possible. And here are some interpretations of this phrase. Open-mindedness encourages a mindset that is receptive to new ideas, experiences, and solutions. 2, creativity and imagination involves envisioning different scenarios and possibilities, which can lead to innovative thinking and problem solving. Optimism suggests a positive outlook on life where one believes in the potential for change and growth, even in challenging situations. Personal growth encourages individuals to step outside their comfort zones and explore new paths, leading to personal development and self-discovery. Decision-making involves considering various options before making choices, which can lead to more informed and balanced decisions. 6, vision for the future helps in setting goals and aspirations, allowing individuals to dream big and strive for what they truly desire. Dream big. We're so used to dreaming small, and we want to, for safety reasons. We think thinking small, dreaming small, holding on to what we know keeps us safe. It keeps us stuck. Sometimes you got to be a warrior and just get out there, right? Growth is not for the faint of heart. And the conclusion, dwelling in the realm of possibilities can be a powerful approach to life, promoting creativity, resilience, and a hopeful perspective. It encourages individuals to think beyond their current circumstances and embrace the potential for new beginnings and opportunities. And I was like, right on, GPT. Because that's what's happening for us. And the choice is ours. This is a very powerful moment, not only, you know, in our individual lives, but it's a powerful moment for us on the planet, not just this nation, too, but let's expect for the planet. Are we going to keep the planet, save the planet, you know, lift up the planet? Are we going to honor all peoples, indigenous and otherwise? Are we going to have a place, a world that works for all? It sounds like a plateau, but we can create that. Even if it just takes a few of us, those of us who are here, those of us who have agreed to, you know, something higher and better, those of us who are truth seekers, light bearers, healers, workers in the vineyard for the spiritual unfoldment of something grand upon the earth. That's us. And it's going to take us stepping up and stepping in. What else can I do? How else can I serve? How else can I live? You know, where else can I give? I might not be in the seat of government where I'm making big decisions, but in this little sphere, I can make a decision that is the higher decision, a decision that works for the highest good of all. How can we do that? This is our time. This is our moment. And so we've got to not only create new mindsets, but we want to set our minds, set them rightly, based on truth, based on the goodness of God, based on blessings, based on, you know, infinite possibilities. And so it's like traveling into bold new dimensions. You know, who knows what I might be looking like. My hair might, I don't know. But I'm open and receptive. I'm open and receptive. This is the time. And so I hope I'll see you all somewhere along the journey, along the line, you doing your thing and I'm doing mine, and we can just, you know, hey, I see you. I see you. I love you. I bless you. Because whatever we do as individuals will benefit and bless the collective. And we're here to lift up humanity by lifting up what we start with, where? With self. So happy trails, happy traveling, and I'll see you on the way. Blessings. Well, blessings. Thank you. Blessings, blessings.